I'm interested tonight in Matthew chapter number 22, continuing our thoughts that we began on this morning. A third of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 29 of the 89 chapters are committed to our Lord's last week here upon the earth. Certainly these are important words because they are the Word of God. But even greater importance is that it's the last words of Christ. These are the last words of a dying man. But even more paramount than that, these are the last words of the God-man. These are the last things that He said to us. He has not said anything else other than divine impressions that He would make upon our hearts. He has not said anything else inspired since He made these statements prior to leaving here from His own mouth. And then we began this morning looking at the triumphant entrance of our Lord. My, thank God for the day that He made an entrance into my life. On July the 14th, 1968, He came riding into my soul, saddled up the jack of my old nature and rode me down. And I bless His name that not only did He possess me, but He is possessing me. And one day He will fully possess me in a place called heaven. Tonight I want to continue our thoughts in this study of this, my, what a week, in Matthew chapter number 22. I'd like to look tonight at this last week that He was here upon the earth, and draw our attention tonight, if I could, to His teachings of examination. His teachings of examination. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Jesus did more in-depth teaching the last week that He was here than in all of the 3 years that He ministered with His disciples. Took them in a more deeper way, in a more intimate way, than He'd ever taken them before. And in chapter number 22 and chapter number 23 of Matthew's Gospel, gives us some teachings that would cause us to examine some things in our life. Not this psychological introspection. Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. Talking about laying down our lives beside His life. You know, in order to go to heaven, we must be conformed to His image. Laying down our life beside His life and seeing how far we've come and how far we've yet to go before we're like Him. Teachings of examination. I want us to see, first of all, in chapter number 22, He calls on us to examine our evangelism. Examine our evangelism. Preacher, what is evangelism? Evangelism is when you open your mouth and tell somebody else what happened to you. Have you ever, in your life, opened your mouth and told somebody else what God did for you? There is a need to examine that. Chapter number 22 and verses 1 and 2, He asked us in this examination of evangelism to examine my own testimony. What kind of testimony do you have tonight? He says in verse number 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Here we have a parable about a marriage supper for his son. It wouldn't take a rocket scientist out of Titusville, Florida, to figure out that he's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in this marriage supper of the Lamb, now we're examining our own testimony. What kind of testimony do I have tonight? at this marriage supper for this son. Verse number 11, the Bible says, when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. In order to go to this wedding garment, in order to go to this marriage supper, there must be a testimony in your life that you've got on a wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? The wedding garment is the righteousness of Christ. Have you ever been robed in His righteousness? Have you ever been declared to be as holy as the Son of God? Does heaven see you tonight, not as the Catholic Church would have to declare you, but because Jesus has declared you to be a saint tonight? I'm not a sinner tonight. You can be a sinner all you want to. I'm a saint tonight because I've been robed in His righteousness. You say, preacher, do you feel like a saint? No, I still feel like a sinner, but I'm still a saint tonight. I do bless His name. I've been robed in righteousness. I always think about this passage of Scripture. This old boy's at the marriage supper, finds out he doesn't have a wedding garment on, and he's speechless. I always think about B.B. Caldwell used to preach from this passage of Scripture. He always used to preach it on Easter Sunday morning. How far can a man go and still be lost? He used to preach that message. He said, here's an old boy, went clear through the rapture. He's at the marriage supper. The Lamb found out he didn't have the goods. Boy, that'd be horrible for you to go through the whole thing, get to the end, find out you don't have the goods. My testimony. I want to know tonight, in your own testimony, when you give it, when you tell it. You said, I ain't never give it. I ain't never told it. More than likely, it's because you don't have one. I've heard tell that people that have never heard anything, never see anything, never say anything. You say, preacher, I don't discuss religion and I don't discuss politics. If I'd have voted for Al Gore and I was lost on my way to hell, I'd keep my mouth shut too. And I wouldn't say nothing. You say, I don't like that. The devil don't either. But I feel the Holy Ghost inside of me saying, tell it some more. Tell it some more. My own testimony. To be robed in righteousness tonight. Your testimony, as you share it and give it with others, there must be in it more about what He did than what you did. If in your testimony there's a lot in there about what you did, it may be you don't have nothing tonight. Oh, in your testimony tonight, it ought to be all about Him. You ought to tell about you couldn't come to Him, so He came to you. You couldn't love Him, so He loved you. You couldn't call on Him, so He called on you. You couldn't believe in Him, so He believed in you. You couldn't accept Him, so He accepted you. You couldn't love Him, so He loved you. It's all about Him. People scare me tonight when they say I got saved. Scares me to death. I got saved. I tell you, you're in trouble if that's your testimony tonight. I got saved. It's not my testimony tonight. My testimony is God saved me. I got me at the end, Him at the front. That I got saved, that puts you at the front. You got a lot in that engine you're trying to pull tonight. Be more than that train you can handle. Oh, tonight let me be the caboose in this thing tonight. God save me, it's all about you. Is that your testimony tonight? Your testimony, if it's not, you show up at the marriage supper, you're going to be speechless tonight. But not only do I see an examination about my own testimony, but I see an examination here about my testimony to others. I wonder tonight, are you busy tonight? Are you actively involved in sharing your testimony with other people? I just thought maybe I'd start with these young people. Saw a lot of them here tonight. That's a blessing. They know down at school you're saved. Huh? Does the people in your class know you've been born again? Surely. I bet you some of them up there at school don't know you come down here to this crazy church. Oh, no! No! Hey, they got the word out in the neighborhood. Y'all a bunch of old holy rollers. Telling that at school. Oh, yeah. Hey! I went down there to work tomorrow and asked them, did they know you were saved? What would they tell me? Lord God, I didn't know he saved. They ain't never said nothing else about it. Huh? Watch the text here in chapter 22 and verse number 9. He said, go ye therefore in the highways. Many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. The little word bid, to call aloud, to cry out with purpose. It is a general call of the gospel. We must call every man that we possibly can. It is only God that can give a divine call. Our call amounts to the only thing that God holds us responsible for. He is the one that saved. He doesn't have to use us. He could have the birds sing Amazing Grace, have the possum, and give an altar call. But God has chosen us to open our mouth and give out the gospel. Bid them to come. He says here in verse number 10, so those servants went out to the highways and gathered. The little word gathered here, to cast the net and pull it in. Oh, tonight there's a need to cast the net. How is your evangelism? Would you lay it down beside the Son of God and examine your own testimony to the lost and dying world? He said the only reason he made a trip from glory to here was to seek and to save that which was lost. I was wondering tonight, will there be anybody at this marriage supper that will blame their presence there on you? Blame their presence there on you. I remember several years ago talking to my bank teller. I used to go through her window all the time. I shared gospel tracts with her. I gave her little booklets. I was all the time asking her questions, prompting her. Finally, she told me she was lost and on her way to hell. I kept prompting her, plugging her. Oh, I didn't take her down the Romans Road, French Road, get some kind of decision out of her. That's not my department. God's in the decision-making business. You get them too quick, they'll be a goat and you'll have a hard time dealing with them. Huh? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, it says in this text, in verse 13, the king called the servants. It seems like to me the ones that brought them is the one that had to throw them out. I don't want to have to bring no goats there and then have to throw them out after I get there. Huh? Oh, yeah, I just kept plugging her along. One Monday I had to go by there. I was not at a meeting. I went by to make a deposit. She said, you wouldn't believe what happened to me last night. I said, what happened to you last night? She said, I got saved by the grace of God. She leaned up against that microphone and that bank teller. She said it good and loud. She said, and it's all your fault. I'd say glory to the Lamb. Will there be any at the marriage supper that'll say it's all your fault that I'm here? Surely there won't be some in hell that'll say, you never told me! You never told me that story. This past January, wife and I took a week off and went up to New York City. We've always wanted to go. We lived up there the first year we were married. We lived in Brooklyn, 383 Fifth Avenue and 6th Street. And so we wanted to go back. My brother and his wife met us up there. We went to Ground Zero. We went to the day show. We met Katie, Matt, Nan. We met all the liberals, got their autographs. We did all that good stuff. Yeah, we made the gamut. But it wasn't until Wednesday that I found out why. God, in His matchless sovereign ordination, had aligned it for us to be there that week. On Wednesday, we decided we'd take the subway over to Brooklyn and go look at the old house where we used to live in when we first married, our first year of marriage. We took the subway back over there. As I was walking down the street at Fifth Avenue, getting ready to cross Sixth Street, I noticed on the corner the bar that I used to hang out in before I got married. I used to hang out in that bar. I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you how God worked in this old sin-sick boy's heart. And the old bar that I used to hang out in, Luigi's, I used to go there every afternoon at 4 o'clock when I got off from work, and I'd stay there till 4 o'clock in the morning when they closed it up. I closed it up every morning. I noticed Luigi's wasn't there anymore. It was a real estate business. We went on down the street. We looked at the little old brownstone where we used to live in, and we got our picture taken there on the stoop. We was coming back up the street. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. God knows what He's doing. It crossed my mind, the old bookie that I used to make my bets. I very seldom ever missed a night. I didn't make a bet with old Nicky the bookie. And I got to thinking in my mind coming up the street, I sure would like to see Nicky again. I'd like to open my mouth and tell him that I'm not a betting anymore. I'm not a drinking anymore. But I'm a Baptist preacher. Well, you got to realize it's been 32 years. We're talking about millions of people around. We've stopped at a little grill right close to the subway. We got a grilled cheese sandwich with French fries and coffee. I got done. I went up to pay my bill. There was a man up there at the cash register. He had ordered 2 cups of coffee to go. He was paying his bill. I leaned over to Beth. I said, if that's not Nicky, I'll eat my hat. She leaned over there. She said, sir, is your name Nicky? He said, yes, my name is a Nicky. I said, you used to take my bets at Luigi's bar. He said, I'm the man. Out of all the million people, 32 years, and God, by His divine sovereign providence, arranges the cross at a cash register. How come? So I can tell Him that I've been saved and give Him a gospel tract. Maybe God would bring Him into the kingdom. God's got you stuck where you're stuck tonight so you can open your mouth and tell that story. Huh? He doesn't have you shopping where you're shopping by accident. He don't have you buying your gas where you're buying it by accident. He don't have you working where you're working by accident. He stuck you there to open your mouth and tell the blessed old story. Should we examine ourselves tonight in light of Him? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Go further in the text. Not only does He call on us to examine our evangelism, but He calls on us to examine our esteem. Our esteem. You've got the text there, chapter number 23. Esteem tonight. What value do you place on yourself? What value do you place on yourself? Self-esteem tonight is the value that one places upon their self. We're living in a big self-esteem era. It's being taught to our kids, being pumped to us on the TV. Lord God, somebody goes down the mall, shoots 10 people down there. First thing they said, oh, he had low self-esteem. That's what's wrong with him. Huh? Yeah. His daddy had a 2-car garage. They only had 1 car, and it just messed him all up. Low self-esteem. Huh? Oh, yeah. I think in this hour, closer we'll get to God, we'll find out that God is interested in putting a pin in self-esteem. What's going to happen? You put a pin in self-esteem, you're going to hear the air leaking out. Tonight, as we think of the text, Paul said in Philippians, let each esteem others better than themselves. How can one, listen to me tonight, how can one cultivate a low regard for their self and a high regard for Him. How can one realize their utter worthlessness and His all sufficiency tonight? Tells us here in this text, examine our esteem. How can one have a low regard for their self? Chapter 23 in verses 9 and 10. There must be a proper relationship tonight to lordship. Who is your boss tonight? Watch what the text says. Verse number 9. And call no man your father upon the earth. Boy, that would blow a hole in Catholicism. Why, they call that old Pope the Holy Father. Hey, this verse is in the Catholic Bible. I wonder what to do. Must have a hole there, you reckon? And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. When one calls another father, there is an indication that there is dependency upon Him, that He cares for us as a helpless child tonight. Have you entered in to that relationship tonight of total and complete and wholehearted dependency upon Him? He is your Father, and you are a child. It is His hand to your mouth in dependency tonight. Without Him, you can do nothing. When one enters into that relationship, he will begin to have a low regard for himself. I think about this lordship thing he says in verse number 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. I wonder tonight if you're under new management, if He is your Lord, He is your boss. If He is your Lord, He is your boss. You can't dress like you want to. You can't go where you want to. You can't do what you want to. You can't be what you want to. You must bow to His authority. That you realize your own utter worthlessness, and there'll be a low regard for self. I was thinking tonight, if you had a wagon, the wagon was loaded with the burdens of your life. You were on the trail and the journey across life. The road was bumpy. The road was up and down. The road was around curves. You had no idea what was ahead. You didn't have any idea if the wagon could withstand the pressure or not. But you had a companion with you. He was riding along with you. This companion, he knows what's in the back. He loaded it. He knows what is ahead. He planned it. He knows what the wagon can take. He made it. Don't pinch me and wake me up, but I've heard tell he's a horse whisperer. He can even talk to the horses. I know you'll probably have to think days about this and pray long hours about this, but I've got a question for you. What would you do with the reins of that wagon? If you're sitting here tonight and you have to give any thought to that at all, you can rest assured of one thing. He is not your boss. I don't have to give a thought to that question at all. I know what I'd do with those reins. I have my hands to do other things. Huh? Examine your esteem tonight, your relationship to lordship. Not only our relationship to lordship, but our relationship to lowliness. How can one cultivate a regard of lowliness, a low regard for self? I meet very few Baptists tonight to think they're worthless. Oh, yeah. I met very few Baptists tonight that feel like they're nothing. I meet a lot of Baptists that have been hurt. I mean, well, I
bad. Oh, it hurt. I tell you, they hurt me so bad.
You know what happened to you, don't you? You found out you were thinking you were something. Oh, yeah. You can't hurt nothing. It's impossible to hurt nothing. You can't hurt it. You can't hurt it. How can one enter into that lowliness? He says in verse number 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That little word servant is an interesting word. One is going to have a low regard for their self. They must enter into service. Serve. You say, preacher, that's what I do. I serve the Lord. I sing in the choir. Better hold off on that one for a minute. Preacher, that's what I do. I serve the Lord. I clean the church around here. I attend. I give some tithes and offerings. Watch that little word servant there in verse number 11. It is our little word table waiter. Table waiter. When we think of a table waiter, we think of someone who comes to the table, takes the order, smiles, make everybody happy, get big tip when it's over with. Table waiter. Yeah, glory to God. That's what I want to be. One of Jesus' table waiters. Get that tip when it's over with. Could I expand this word out? It is not only our word for table waiter, but it is much more akin to our word bus boy. Ruh-roh, bus boy. He or she's the one that comes after the tip has exchanged hands, after all the smiles have been given, all the congratulations and thank yous been done, and they clean up the mess that is left. They get no recognition. They get no applause. They get nobody telling them, that's a good job. God is looking for some bus boys tonight. Bus girls. They need nobody to applaud them. They need nobody to recognize them. They need nobody to pat them on the back. They need nobody to tell them they love them. They just want to be a bus boy and get the tip later. There's when you begin to have a low regard for yourself. Examine our esteem. Examine our evangelism. Could I mention this last one? If I could tonight, if you've got the Scriptures there, chapter number 23, maybe you're saying tonight you've mentioned enough. Let me mention one more thing, and that'll be enough. He asks us not only to examine our evangelism and our esteem, but He asks us to examine our emphasis. Our emphasis. Here in our text in chapter 23 and verse 23, says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, omitted the weightier matters of the law. These people were preaching tithing. He said, there's nothing wrong with tithing. He said, don't leave it out. He said, but don't get overbalanced on one issue. Here tonight in His examining our emphasis tonight. Where are you at tonight on majoring on the minors tonight? Majoring on the minors. He said here, remember the weightier matters such as judgment. The little word judgment, doing right, being a person of your word. He said, remember the matter of mercy, treating others with compassion, as you would have them to treat you. He said, remember the weightier matters of the law, such as faith, continually acknowledging Him in all of your ways. I wonder if you're guilty tonight. He said, lay yourself down beside Him. Examine your emphasis tonight. Are you majoring on the minors? You know, in order to major on the minors tonight, see how we stand tonight. We need to see principle over preference tonight. We need to examine the principles that we're standing on, the preferences that we have. You know, a principle tonight is something you're worth willing to die for. Willing to die for. You'll not budge. You take the deity of Christ. I believe Jesus Christ
is the Son of God. I believe God the Father, God the Son are the same person. The Muslims don't believe that. Muhammad Ali don't believe that. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. Mormons don't believe that. Christian Scientists don't believe that. But I still believe it. And I believe the Bible teaches if you don't believe it, you'll go to hell when this is over. You say, preacher, if the Muslims don't ever embrace Jesus Christ as God, they're going to hell tonight. I'm here to tell you with all of my heart that Jesus is the only... See, that's the principle that's worth dying for. A preference tonight is something that could change. Let's say somebody come in here tonight, had a double-barrel shotgun. It was a pump action. Brought it in here, pumped it, put it to my head, and asked me to deny if it was all right for a woman to wear pants or not. I'm going to say, uncock that thing, bud. Let's talk a little while. Ain't blowing my brains out over there. No, 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 no. I'm liable to see you next week with yours on. No, 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 no. He comes in here and cocks that thing and puts it to my head, asks me to deny if Jesus Christ was virgin-born Son of God. I say, let her rip. I can't deny that. That's a principle. Majoring on the minors. Check our emphasis tonight. He said in this emphasis tonight, examining, not only majoring on the minors, but an emphasis upon the outward over the inward. Here in our text in verse 25, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Oh, tonight, I can remember days going by when I would be thrilled if people cleaned up the outside, straightened up, straightened out, cut their hair, quit doing things, started going to church. I tell you, for 15 years I preached, and I thought, I don't know why, it's the stupidest thing in the world, but I thought everybody ought to be like me. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Huh? I wonder if you're like that tonight. In your little old Christian experience, little old Christian world you're living in, you think everybody ought to be like you? Wouldn't it be a mess if everybody's like you? Everybody cut their hair like you. Everybody wore a dress like you did. Oh, wouldn't we be in a mess? Outside over the inside. You know, it come to a great conclusion when I was reading these verses. You can clean the outside. Cleaning of the outside will never clean the inside. But if you clean the inside through a new birth of God, the outside will never stay dirty. Oh, how can I clean the inside? By taking these Bible principles, these things about God that are in cement, they'll never change. Begin to simulate them into your heart and your mind. It will cleanse the inside, and the outside will come along with it. I like that, don't you? I'm talking about the teachings of examination. A little verse come to my heart the other day. Very well-known verse. Paul told Timothy. He said, study. Talking about studying Christ, studying the Word of God. He said, study to show yourself approved. That little word, approved, got stuck in my heart. Couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't shake it. Been thinking about it. Been meditating upon it. Meditating upon it again today. Approve. The little word there means sun tested. Sun tested. The olden days in Middle Eastern days, they used to make a lot of clay vessels. And if the potter had made a clay vessel, the vessel had gotten cracked or marred in the burning process and in the making process, He would put it way in the back of his tent, back in sort of a dark, doom, gloomy corner. Anybody come in to buy it and they were not familiar with clay vessels too much, they would look at it and say, "My word, oh, that's a nice vessel." But the one who was wise, the one who had studied clay vessels, he would bring it from the back of the tent and he would sun test it. He'd put it up to the light and check it out. Preacher, what's God asking us to do this last week Jesus was here on the earth? He's asking you and I in these last days to take our life and hold them up to the light. See if we see any cracks. You see any cracks tonight in your evangelism? You better get to God, hon. You see any cracks in your esteem tonight? You got to thinking you was big time, didn't you? You was somebody. You didn't realize you was nothing. Hey, as you hold yourself up to sun testing, how about your emphasis? Are you emphasizing a lot of things that are not worth emphasizing? Here in our Lord's teaching, I'd like to just join the gospel writers again tonight and say, my, what a week. He sure did get a lot done in a week. And as far